You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Tuesday, 16 July, and it is AI Appreciation Day. No, I don't know what that means either. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Shwendan Deri from Tribe Investments of South Africa. Marian Roberts got a $200 million contract in Latin America. But bigger story, I'm going to ask if there are any listed construction stocks worth looking at. Vicky van Loggenbach, CEO of IFSA Private Equity. Boom in private equity, but also what to watch out for. And then Andrea Daniels, head tax controversy and dispute resolution at Tax Consulting SA. Implications after Dr. Christoph Wiese and his associates lost their case at the Supreme Court of Appeal. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. 2015 top 40 all share all hit all-time highs yesterday and closed at all-time highs. Business Day, Bell Equipment set to exit JSC as founding family eyes full control. And then later in the day, Sasfin announced that Sasfin Wealth was looking to delist the bank from the JSC. Morning markets, US was green, S&P and NASDAQ both up a little under 0.3%. Over in the East, it's very mixed. Sydney is a few points higher. Tokyo is up 0.5%. Hong Kong off 1.4%. Tencent down 2%. Commodities, mostly green. Gold, 2,432. Brent, 85.68. Platinum, $1,009 an ounce. And the red is palladium, 953. Rand, 18.21. Bitcoin, 64,800. And top 40 opening call, yo, 24 points or 0.03% higher.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Talking now with Shwendan Deri. He's from Tribe Investments SA. Shwendan, appreciate the early morning time. An announcement out from Marian Roberts yesterday, which really has been a tough stock. Although I notice it's bounced from around 60 cents to over 2 rand. But they've got a contract. It's $200 million US dollar in Latin America. They're very excited about it. But more broadly, if we look at the construction sector, it's been battered. A lot have disappeared over the last decade and a half since the World Cup in 2010. When you look at the sector, any opportunity that you're seeing, or is it best left alone and stayed away from?
Morning, Simon. Thank you for having me. All right, just touching on Marian Roberts, I think this is really good for them in terms of, you know, they are looking to or have been turning around their balance sheet based on, you know, the interim results that they released early in the year. And just touching on to the construction industry, it has been battered, but I do see a slight change, an upward tick in that industry. However, if there's a stock that I'll be watching out for personally, it will be Robex. So yeah. Ticker RBX. I think it intertwines with, you know, the mining sector and the construction sector. They've recently just invested in Barber Resources, which is significantly meant to boost their earnings. And there's actually generally positive trends in constructions in South Africa and Australia. And it's also encouraging that, you know, China is starting to turn around, not as fast as we wanted to turn around to. But at this stage in time, I think RBX is the only stock that I am seeing. We just have to take a wait and see approach in terms of how, you know, the economy turns around with regards to the construction center. Sector.
And it is one of the few, and my chart's not zooming out. It's not quite back at the 2007 levels, but yeah, that was a different time. And if I just squeeze in a little bit, it's certainly at what, almost 20-year highs. I take your point about Robex as well. And I was chatting with their CEO when results came out. They're doing Australia, but they're doing it carefully. Australia's a graveyard for a lot of our businesses, but they seem to be doing it right. Very, very small steps, very cautious steps, and also doing a fair bit around renewable energy, which obviously is a big demand.
No, 100%. I think in that sector, the best way, in my opinion, is really diversification, right? The fact that, you know, they're going through renewable energy, they are going through chrome mining operations, and it's not just strict, you know, construction, you know, to put it in layman's term, like building buildings, right? So I think, and the way they're approaching Australia as well, as you said, it's a graveyard for a lot of South African companies. It is, you know, you do have to take a bit of a risk, but it has to be very calculated. And like you said, I think they're doing it quite well.
Yeah, and certainly the share price has been responding well. We'll leave it there. Sean Dendery from Tribe Investments South Africa, appreciate the early morning time.
There's no postponing the inevitable. Your money knew this day would come. And you know what? It can hardly wait to start giving some back to you. When you invest in Stanlib's fixed income funds, you can retire earning a regular income off your investments. Invest for more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm Daniel Fricke van Lochenberg, CEO of IFSA Private Equity. Fricke, appreciate the time today. Alternative investments, I mean, they really have come a long way, I suppose, in the last couple of years, but particularly in the last decade. They used to be really the preserve of very few, and now they're much more widely available for the average investor.
Definitely, Simon. Thank you so much for having a chat to me. It's always nice. Alternative investment, you know, the last 20, 30 years, it's been this myth that alternative, specifically private equity, is only reserved for your larger portfolios, pension funds, those types of things. But in recent years, I would say the last 10, 15 years, there's been a lot of work being done more into the retail space and allowing investors to have a lot more access or easier access to these types of asset classes, which in my mind is brilliant.
And when we're talking alternatives, I mean, your expertise is the private equity. I mean, it often gets a bad rap, and maybe this is because everyone remembers Edcon, where it was about an overly leveraged business struggling to pay interest bills. But that, I mean, I suppose it happens, but that's not the proper logic behind it.
Definitely. There's always, in every industry, in every fund class, there is ups and downs, and there is creative or interesting things that can happen. But out of a regulation perspective, I always say that we as South Africa, you know that we are very, very heavily regulated in a specific space. So it comes down to your asset manager, investment manager, the expertise that they bring to the table and experience they bring to the table. And obviously making sure that before you invest, go through the process, ask the questions and see that the diversified industries that you're investing in talks to you and make sure that everything is as it should be.
That's a great point, because if we look at it, and there's different ways of doing it, and I think perhaps more popular is the idea of a private equity fund. It gives more diversification. It also perhaps gives a little less risk to any single asset. But it is a case of, you know, knowing what that speciality of the fund is.
Definitely. Look, there's always good principle, investment principle, to have a diversified portfolio. And the alternatives, that gives you that little bit of edge, because if everything goes right, like it's usually supposed to do, if it just goes marginally right, it's less volatility in your portfolio and it's equity-type returns that you get there. The negative that you have to watch out for is just to plan around the liquidity, because private equity is not listed on the exchanges. So liquidating positions or portfolios is not as easy as the listed environment. So if you plan for that, put that into your structure, your 5-year or 7-year plus type of building block, and then you access your private equity side, that gives you a very nice run on your portfolio.
That's a good point, because liquidity, you know, I could sell my entire JSC portfolio while we're having this conversation, but that's not the case in private equity. You've got to give it that time to mature. You've got to give it that time to understand that the exit on the other side isn't just a click of a mouse button.
100%. And I think that's the perception that has to be really instilled. And that's what I like about the last couple of years, specifically coming through. You've got a couple of bloggers, YouTubers, experts like yourself talking around investment principles and basics. And the more and more the information is readily available out there, that people get comfortable around the specific asset class and understand what the liquidity constraints is, but what the risk reward type of it, what is the reward side of it? Why do you want to go that? And how does it fit into your portfolio? It's actually a very exciting time, specifically now with our political situation and the economy looks like it's starting to turn.
I was going to say, I mean, there's always opportunity out there, but perhaps there's even better opportunity out there right now in current circumstances.
Definitely. There is, we always say, wherever there's a problem, there is an opportunity to fix it.
Yeah.
So not to say that we've got massive, massive problems, but there is some challenges in South Africa. So in my opinion, there's a lot of opportunity to fix these challenges. And if you do your homework correctly, With a bit of luck and a bit of skill, you can get to where you want to be.
And that skill's important. I remember a conversation with you a couple of years ago where we were talking about what does private equity bring to the table. Now, it brings cash. That's important. Make no mistake about it. But if you can bring skills to it as well, because a lot of these companies, they're not necessarily struggling. They're moving on to the next leg of growth, and they need certain skills they currently don't have. And the PE managers can bring those in.
Spot on, Simon. I'm glad you can remember that for them. So now that's one of the important things that I think private equity actually brings to the foreground or to the table. As we've seen a heck of a lot of businesses, entrepreneurs that have got super skills. They are wonderful at what they do in their business day to day. But they have a challenge when it comes to the financial management side. Sometimes they just need an objective opinion to help them go through that process, do proper cash management, proper balance sheet reconstruction, and they need that expertise. And I think when it comes to private equity, what we do is we take a look at where we can actually add value on top of the cash. The cash is necessary, but you need to add value to that specific business and see if you can take it from a 1 rand business to a 5 rand business and everything in between.
And that's, I suppose, the other point is that I think a lot of times we think that maybe private equity is saving a failing business, and that may be the case, but I suspect more often it's about boosting a growing business.
100%. Look, there's opportunity in business that are a little bit tightly wound, but 99% of the time you identify a very good business that you can see that if you add this value, you've got this expertise that you can implement and see what's the next step going on there. That is where the core focus of private equity is. So it's a lot like cherry picking because you go through 100 potential businesses or strategies or opportunities and you maybe pick one. And then you just give that 100% of the focus, get on the board, do the budget, see exactly what you can do with your marketing and sales and actually try to add that value to that business.
Yeah, and of course, that's an important point. You're picking, you've got that luxury of choosing. We'll leave it there. That's Fikie from Lachenberg. He's the CEO of IFSA Private Equity. Appreciate the time.
Your money knows that reaching new heights means turbulence. When you invest in StanLib's Global Multi-Strategy Diversified Growth Fund, your money can withstand the unpredictable ups and downs caused by day-to-day market fluctuations. Because our partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management gives you access to a broad range of global strategies. Seek more returns at stanlib.com/more. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Chatting now with Andre Daniels, head of tax controversy and dispute resolution at Tax Consulting SA. Andre, I appreciate the early morning time. A recent Supreme Court of Appeal judgment against Dr. Christo Wiese and others. These things are always slightly complicated, but what was the key finding that came out of this judgment against Dr. Christo Wiese?
Thank you, Simon, and good morning to yourself and your listeners. In a nutshell, what the Supreme Court have confirmed for us, firstly, is that the existence of a tax liability does not need to be confirmed by an assessment. This liability exists by law, regardless of an assessment. And secondly to that, the purpose of Section 183 of the Tax Administration Act is to hold third parties accountable who deliberately obstruct SARS from collecting a tax debt.
I get that, and that makes a lot of sense. And that liability is perhaps important because, as I understand in this case, the argument was, well, the people hadn't been told about it. That this court now says the absence of being told doesn't mean it didn't exist. And I can see the logic behind that. And I got to say, in this case, I mean, it sounds like the Supreme Court of Appeal got it right.
Yes, 100%, Simon. And as you've stated, the tax liability for a taxpayer exists by law. There does not need to be an assessment. The assessment merely quantifies the amount of tax payable or the amount of tax refundable to the taxpayer.
The Section 183, this is the part where, in essence, it is the liability of persons assisting, and therefore it is much wider. And this has implications for, I'm thinking, I mean, just accountants, tax practitioners, anyone involved in that process of tax are potentially going to be liable.
Right on the money there, Simon. Section 183 of the Tax Administration Act confirms that if a person knowingly assists in dissipating a taxpayer's assets in order to obstruct the collection of a tax debt by the taxpayer, to the extent that that person's assistance reduces the assets available to pay the taxpayer's debt, that person may be found jointly and severably liable for the tax liability of that taxpayer. So again, it's certainly keeping bad tax advisors, persons that would generally assist in potential evasion of taxes, and keeps them responsible not only to their client but also to SARS.
And in this particular section 183 is liability of person assisting in the dissipation of assets. In other words, I'm trying to avoid the tax by moving my assets or a corporate asset somewhere else. So there is just no money. But I would imagine this extends wider as well. I mean, assisting in tax avoidance is illegal. This has just sort of narrowed it down and confirmed that section 183.
Yes, Simon. I just want to make a clarification there. Tax avoidance is legal.
Correct.
The taxpayer is allowed to have their affairs set up in a certain way to pay less taxes. It's tax evasion that is illegal. So that's just an important qualification that I wanted to discuss with you.
And that's a key point. I mean, we are allowed, and you said that right there, as taxpayers, we are allowed to set up our affairs to be tax efficient. That is absolutely within the ambit of being a taxpayer. Efficient taxes is totally legit, as long as you stay within the guardrails of legality, I suppose.
Yes, that's 100%. Correct, Simon.
Do we now see, this was a Supreme Court of Appeal judgment. Of course, we have now got the Constitutional Court. We saw, for example, the coronation case ended up in the Constitutional Court. In that example, the court ruled in favor of coronation. Would we likely expect this to go to head up to the Constitutional Court and perhaps them to actually hear it, just to sort of solidify the precedent?
Look, Dr. Vista has not been found guilty of anything, but him and his legal team have decided to fight this all the way to the Supreme Court of Appeal. Mm-hmm. As we know, the defense was that they hadn't raised assessment and therefore there's no liability. Again, we can't speak for their state of mind and on whose legal advice this was done. The fact is that he fought all the way to the Supreme Court of Appeal to try and get out of the potential claim by raising the assessment technicality. But what this case means is that if you haven't paid over VAT, PAYE, income tax or anything to SARS on time, and where an advisor is involved and complicit in SARS not receiving their fair dues, they may be held jointly and severably liable.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, we cannot speak to Dr. Vista's intentions or whether this may be appealed further to the Constitutional Court, but we have certainly of late seen an appetite for taxpayers to take the matter all the way to the highest court in the land, being the Constitutional Court, as you so mentioned.
Yeah, and of course that then kind of makes it end of road, and I suppose gives some finality in that regard. We'll leave it there. That's Andre Daniels. He's head of Controversy and Dispute Resolution, Tax Consulting SA. Appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. Chatting with Sean there at the top of the show around construction stocks. That's our question today on LinkedIn and Twitter. Is the construction sector one that you feel has some opportunity for investors? Certainly, Marion Roberts has done great, but the consensus seems to be around Robex as the preferred. Wilson Bailey gets a bit of a look in. Stefanuti really for the hope that they will, they've got their dispute with Eskom. And if that goes their way, they've got a billion plus coming. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. And yesterday we were chatting with Samukela Zwani from FNB Wealth, talking around their 2024 FNB Retirement Insights Survey, which makes for, I suppose it depends whether your glass is half full or half empty. Some folks are doing great, but a bunch aren't. We asked you, how's your retirement plan going? A third said, plan going great. About 30% said, you know what, truthfully, it's going terrible, going to be working forever. The rest was split between already retired and no idea. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobukle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us a positive rating and a review in your podcatcher of choice. And we'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.